Podcast Judge!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 134 of Lost in Translation. I'm May.
And I'm Jay.
And this week we watch Justice Equals Power.
Or, indeed, Strength Equals Just Ice, Beast Knight Duftmon.
And Human Potential.
Or Breek, Cranium on Stronger Shield.
We don't have much Digi News this week, but for Lost News Lately-mon, we'll be posting end of season opinion questions soonish. We're currently on our Christmas break at the moment, so I'll be expecting that in the coming week or so. And speaking of stuff that we're working on, I made a post the other day to our blog saying how we were going to be starting working on some extra episodes during the holiday break. We've got the Lane episode, the V-Tamer episode, which we unfortunately had to delay due to personal issues previously. And we also have the stage play, and we have the English dub of Try Chapter 3. And they're all set to come out during the Christmas break. As in addition to, obviously, our usual episodes, like the main Savers coverage, which we'll be finishing soon. And on to production synopsis. The first episode we're watching this week is called Justice Equals Power, or Indeed Strength is Justice, Beast Knight Duftmon. What do you think will happen in this episode?
Is it Beast Knight and then it's Duftmon, or is the full name Beast Knight Duftmon?
Beast Knight Duftmon, three words.
Oh, okay, you said it very fast, like you were agreeing that it's one word. Okay, so Duftmon, do we even see this one?
I don't know. We saw all of them, I can't remember, maybe.
Okay, well, I can't tell you anything because the name's meaningless, and we're clearly in an arc of Royal Knight shows up and they beat it. So I'm thinking Yoshi gets an episode because we had a Toma-focused episode and it says nothing about Masaru in it. And because Ikuto's not a real person.
Right.
So I guess Yoshi will have a whole thing and her character arc will progress badly because, like, they don't do her story very well, I don't think.
So do you think it's more of the same with her anxiety about her family not being as good as her sisters?
Can't say why not.
Do you think anything will annoy him about this episode?
Look, if it is about Yoshi for actuals, how obvious is it, right, that the title has nothing to do with her? So that's a full-on guess based on the pattern of the previous few couple episodes. But at the same time, if that's the case, it shows that they don't have very much confidence in the actual backstory of her or the story arc they're trying to tell.
Right.
Either way, Duftmon is going to die.
Right. Do you think it'll be a good episode?
Not really. I just based on the feeling that it's a Yoshi-centric episode, I don't think they've ever presented her character all that well. So the pattern there would suggest that it won't be that good an episode, all things considered. Even though that time she fought Sergei, or whatever his name is, Yuri?
What was his name?
Was it Yuri?
I'm really tired. I don't know.
I thought he was Russian. That would make sense. Either way, he fought the Bio Frontier Boy.
It was Spinamon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That one was all right, but that wasn't because she was interesting. It was because she was a sexy lamp and he was projecting interesting story.
What rating?
Like, 5.
Filler or not filler?
Well, if Duftmon dies, this is a Schrodinger's filler, honestly, because it's like Duftmon will die, but it's the only thing that will happen. And the Royal Knights aren't defeated because they all die. The Royal Knights are going to be defeated because Yggdrasil's defeated. So I'm literally putting it down as Schrodinger's filler. I don't think anything important will happen other than Duftmon dying. And I don't think that's that important.
Right. And the second episode that we're watching this week is called Human Potential, or Break, Craniumon's Stronger Shield. What do you think will happen in this episode?
All right, so Craniumon was the first one that, like, Masaru ran into.
Yes.
Which implies to me that he'll run into him again. And so now we're following Masaru. This also confirms the idea that Ikuto is not really a character, so because he doesn't get a defeat a Royal Knight all by himself story. And so we follow Masaru and he's heading around and he runs into Craniumon and, like, aha, I will fight you again this time, and this time I shall defeat you. And then Masaru will say, nah-uh, and Craniumon will be like, yaha, and they fight. And Craniumon's big thing will be that his impenetrable defense, before last time, like, why would he even bother? He was so fast. But now he knows, he's seen the pattern, he's not going to fall into Shine Greymon's rhythm, so to speak, in anime lingo.
Yeah.
So this time, does he have a shield?
Not that we saw so far.
Maybe he has a big shield. I don't know. And then he's going to die, because that's how these go.
So you think it's going to be another he dies
sort of thing? I think there are so many Royal Knights that they're going to pretty much fall one every episode.
Well, that's better than, you know, them chasing around one specific one, right?
Kind of.
Do you think anything will annoy you in this episode?
It's hard to say. I guess, you know what it would be? Any situation where, obviously, if Masaru had backup, he would be way better off. Because in the Japanese, I don't remember them saying, like, hey, you have to stay here and protect the real world. Especially because there are other DATS agents in every other country, presumably.
Yeah.
It was just like, no, this is a man's business. I.e., I'm suicidal and don't have a better way of putting it.
Do you think it'll be a good episode?
You know what? I think it'll be fun. I'm not sure it'll be written all that well, but I think that it will be enjoyable, which will make it good.
But it's enjoyable, at least.
Yeah. And that's sort of, there's a distinction between, like, you know, your perfectly cooked steak and your McDonald's hamburger. They're both enjoyable, but one is objectively good, and the other one, it's not good, but you enjoyed it.
What rating do you think you'll give it?
I think I'm going to give it a 7. I think it's going to be, like, good, but not so good that I'm going to gush over it.
Filler or not filler?
I guess it's less filler. It's less because they're obviously it's actually following Masaru traveling, which progresses the story to an extent. But I still think it's just defeating Royal Knights and not actually getting anywhere important. Because it's not, you're not so much like going through doors and walking down hallways, like moving along. You're sitting in front of one door, opening lots of different locks.
So you think it's another SF?
You know what? Sure, let's put them both down as that. That's how these arcs work. The whole point of them is that you have like 5 or 6 Schrodinger's filler in the row where one of them matters to tell you what's happening and the rest don't.
Though so far, it's probably better than the SF that we were having in Frontier.
Well, to be fair,
so both Royal Knights arcs.
At the very least, you could say at the end of each of these episodes, well, there is one less Royal Knight, and so you could infer that in the next episode, that Royal Knight can't show up.
Yeah.
So there is a difference between the previous episode and this episode. Now, it doesn't matter in the long run, because that's not how it works. Like, these Royal Knights, once they split up like this, they just don't matter anymore. They're not going to come to each other's aid, really.
Yeah.
But in the other one, it was like all they did was take a piece of the digital world, and you could argue that that's important, but it ultimately wasn't, because it told you in the next episode they've been taking pieces of the digital world. So that's the clear example. This one is close. It's similar. It's not perfect.
Right.
You can definitely make arguments that I'm wrong, and I wouldn't be shocked or offended.
Right. As for the writers for these episodes, the first episode was written by Inari Mexico, who wrote episodes 36 and 39, and that's the most recent one.
Is her name Mexico?
Mexico.
It's a lot like Mexico.
Mexico. So, the episode 36 was Awaken Belfmon, Demon Lord Belfmon Revives. And episode 39 was King Drasil's Fatal Decision, Human World Terminated Yggdrasil's Decision, which was the clip show episode.
Well, they haven't had to do very much writing then, have they?
No, I mean, I think Awaken Belfmon was a pretty fight episode.
Yeah, that wasn't very much.
And the clip show was alright, because it was justified.
The clip show was like really minimal, right?
Yeah, but it was good writing.
It's more like they didn't have time to screw it up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. The second episode was written by Yamatoya Akatsuki, and previously they wrote episodes 33 and 38. So that episode 33 was the final biohybrid battle, the final decisive battle, Koki Ultimate Evolution. And episode 36, The Power of the Burst Mode. Burst Mode, the power that exceeds ultimate.
Oh god, none of those are any good, are they?
I feel like the Burst Mode episode was good.
Was it?
I feel
Wasn't
like
Wasn't that it... just big fights? And then at
no,
the end
it,
of it?
No, it was Agumon Awakening again, and they're being... Oh no, that was the episode before, but I know, I feel like it was still quite good, right?
No, well, no, Agumon woke up in the previous episode, and then he's running over this episode, and he just does it. I think those are just fighting episodes.
Alright.
There's like nothing interesting that happens in any of those. So which would be perfectly reasonable for this episode, where Masaru just fights Craniumon.
Good point. I mean, both episode 33 and 38 they were both quite okay episodes, in my opinion. But they were both very, like, Masaru is fighting in this episode.
I love the description of the episode as quite okay. Is okay a thing? It's something can be in extremes.
I feel like I gave them both, like, 6 or 7. Maybe 7. I've been giving a lot of 7s this season. Which is good. That's a solid thing. I'm not giving, you know...
No, I
don't think I've given anything below a 6.
You have, I'm sure.
And it's been a while if I have. But no, I've been rating the safest episodes quite high, which is nice. So, do any of your ratings change? You gave the first episode a 5 and the second episode... 7.
I think the second one might downgrade to a 6 on that basis. But it was always a fairly tentative 7 to begin with.
So 6 based on
the writer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we'll keep the first one's still a 5?
Yeah, that's going to change.
Mokidoki. So I guess we'll find out soon when you watch the episodes. All right, on to the show.
Let's go.
Episode 43 starts off with Yggdrasil being told about the Royal Knights losing, and then Doftmon shows up, and he is said to be the strategist.
I don't really get why he's called the strategist, because his entire strategy is, I will come out of the shadows and plan nothing, and then attack, and then die.
Well, this episode had a lot of potential when they revealed that he was a strategist, but you're right, they didn't really use that at all. In fact, I believe the dub even took out this part of his character, and instead made him have his motto being, which is the episode title, Justice Equals Power.
Which I assume they only did to make him not sympathetic, because the reasoning of the Royal Knights of, look, we don't really have a choice in this, or it's like you or us, is one thing, but justice equals power basically means as long as you're the strongest, then your point is just and you are correct, which is so obviously wrong that it makes the kids the good guys in the situation.
I mean, it was still the same sort of thing in the original version, but they made it even stronger in the English version, as opposed to the original.
They made that his character rather than the thing he said.
Yeah. But I still wish that they used him being a strategist more as a thing. Like, that could have been interesting. Like, imagine if they had an episode that was like that episode of Atmon that we always love, which is them sort of like planning around the enemy strategy, and they're sort of showing some tactical smarts at all, besides just, I attack bigger.
Well, if that was the case, it wouldn't be an episode about Yoshi and Ikuta, would it? The Vitomas episode.
Yeah, that too. In the dub, Doftmon is called Lepardimon, and there's a fun fact that he actually has a mode change called Leopard Mode.
When is that mode change?
Not in Sabers.
So when does he have it?
Cyber Sleuth.
Oh.
But they keep the name.
Do they all have animal modes?
No.
Just him?
Just him.
Why?
Because. But he's Lepardimon Leopard Mode. Try saying like that 5 times fast. Yes, he does. He's got the fur. Well, his leopard mode looks like a leopard.
I think his head thing doesn't look like a leopard, though.
He's got, like, the coat.
It makes him look like he has... Oh, I guess so. It looks like he has dumb eyes, because he has two sets of eyes really close to each other.
Yeah, no, he does have a bit of a dirt face. Yoshino is driving with Ikuto and talking about how it's like a ghost town now, since everyone's evacuated. They say that they have to protect it, and they have to take back the world.
That's a good way of saying that, okay, lots of stuff's about to get destroyed, but no one's going to die.
Yeah, basically. It's basically saying, if we see any buildings that get blown up, it's fine.
Yeah.
Unlike previously, where buildings were just being blown up left, right, and center, and people were just straight up dying. A tornado is headed towards Masaru's house. And we find out that it's Piyomon and some baby Digimon, as well as Otamamon, who's actually a child-level Digimon in every other season of Digimon, but for some reason in Savers, they made him a baby level.
It's because it doesn't matter. The rules aren't real. Digimon's not a thing.
Well, actually, in Savers in general, and I think I've mentioned this before, the first two evolution stages are actually combined into one.
I guess that makes sense, why they'd mix it up in this case.
Like, Agumon was born into Koromon instead of Bottomon, and then it goes directly to Agumon. There's only each of the Digimon only has, like, one baby form.
Yeah, but you explained to me once that this tadpole thing, that's the level that Agumon's at, so it's not actually on the combined two levels.
Yeah, but for some reason in Savers, they dropped it down to being a baby-level Digimon.
Makes sense, because the Frogmon it turns into looks more like it's Agumon's level than an adult.
But it is an adult. So in the dub, this scene is longer because Yoshino's like talking the whole thing. It's like, well, I know who that is. And that one who's purring, that's Nyaramon.
Does it just feel longer because she's talking?
Maybe. And it's instead of having the usual narrator, which the original has. And she also says these are baby and in-training Digimon. So the fact that they've merged them isn't as clear. Chika remembers Piyomon and runs to hug him. And we find out that Piyomon doesn't remember him at all. So we again have that interesting sort of memory loss thing. Last time we saw Piyomon, who was reborn, he sort of had memory, but it wasn't that clear because they weren't actually bonded by Digisoul. They just bonded sort of.
It's weird because there's like no reason in the construction of this season for the memory thing to be a problem. The only person that's ever affected in a like important way was Gotsumon.
Yeah.
But everyone else, like dying and coming back, either it hasn't affected their memory, or if they came back with no memory in this case, the plot doesn't change at all.
Well, Piyomon came out in Rampage, but that was because, and as Marukimon said, there was some sort of evil in the egg, and it was the emotions of the human. So that was sort of giving him back his memories, but they weren't fully back because there's no, like, important relationship like the one that Masaru and Agumon have, which is why he was reborn with complete memories.
I would argue that that plotline would have made equal amount of sense if all Digimon came back with the same memories, and Marukimon just said, I'm going to take away all the human memories in the exact same way, and that process being incomplete made them this way.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That would be an easy fix. Chika says that she knows that this is the same Piyomon, and Akuto and Yoshino show up and Sayuri's feeding the babies. Akuto recognizes this is the Piyomon from before as well, because he says that this was the egg that they were going to raise. In the dub, he just says that he was sent to retrieve this egg, not that he was meant to raise it.
I wish I could understand how they figure that out. Like, how does Akuto recognize that?
Considering an egg, he is the egg, yeah.
It was like, oh no, that's it.
And considering Akuto barely showed up during the original arc.
Are eggs consistent? Like, the same color egg always comes out with the same Digimon?
In this, I believe it's what family they're from, if they're beast type or whatever.
So no, it doesn't necessarily always pop out the same Digimon. So that egg could have popped out anything in that family.
Yeah.
Wow. Good one, Akuto. Well, really strong.
It evolved into the baby, and the baby could have evolved into anything.
Yeah.
Like, presumably all baby Digimon will have the same egg.
That's what I was asking.
But if they do something different that causes them to evolve into a different Digimon, what would have been interesting is, as I mentioned quite often, that if they use the branching evolution paths, and maybe, was it Puomon? The baby? Yes.
I think so.
Puomon was only evolving into Piyomon because of the love that he was experiencing with Chika. And now, without it, he evolves into, I don't know, any other bird.
Speaking of he, still weird hearing the male voice of the English.
Yes. Oh, the English voice is actually really weird. Like, for some reason, I find it's fine in the original version, but for some reason, the English one just is weird.
Because it's a young Japanese boy voice, which, as we learn from the Japanese grandmas who play Goku, like, a high-pitched voice in Japanese sounds like one or the other. Depends really what you're shown.
Yeah, but I know the voice is a bit too masculine for Piyomon, but that's fine. There's not a huge problem with it or anything. We find out the digital world is having huge natural disasters, and that Piyomon and the baby Digimon were struck by a huge tornado, and it was basically a plot convenience storm of what we've seen many times before, and it just so happened to take them to the real world, and it just so happened to take them to Masaru's house.
Pretty much. And it's weird that the natural disasters are only happening in the digital world and not in the human world as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the natural disasters in the human world are Digimon showing up here. But you could say that these disasters are only happening because it's connected to the real world, and maybe the digital world doesn't have storms like the real world, and it's, I don't know. I can make up with something there.
You can try.
I can try.
But either way, the babies are making living life difficult as they mummify Falcomon in toilet paper or splash around in the bath. Or somehow get into the freezer. Literally have no idea how he managed that.
In the dub, Yoshi hopes that nobody mistakes him for a TV dinner, because it's a funny joke.
Their freezer is empty, by the way. How did that happen?
Yoshino ate it all.
Probably.
So, also, they're on, apparently according to the dub, they're on rations. Anyway, so Chika says that they can stay here, but this is just after Yoshino says, look, I'll look after them, and they can all stay at my place.
How are rations distributed on the same day everyone evacuated?
Magic, I guess.
Why would they distribute rations if everyone evacuated?
Lalamon says there's no floor at her place, which either means it's messy or it's too small. But in the dub, she straight up says it's because there's trash on the floor.
Or you have to use the rings on the ceiling and Lalamon just floats around. Also an option. Lalamon just throws her under the bus all the time.
Oh yeah, this whole episode. Chika says that they can stay here, and then says that even though Piyomon doesn't remember her, she remembers him, and she still feels that way, so she feels like they can stay there. Yoshino dresses up in an apron and is cooking, and Lalamon asks what she's doing. In the dub, she's a little bit harsher. She says, you're in the kitchen. You must be lost.
You must be trying to poison us all.
Yeah, Lalamon does not, like, leave off at all. And then we get the scene which we just said about all the havoc that the babies are wreaking and how we shouldn't have children ever because they're awful.
And they poop on the ground and Yoshi's like, ah, well.
In the original, a Tokemon poops on the floor, yes.
Yeah.
And the dub removes it.
Yoshi's like, oh, this is basically like looking after Tom and Masaru, and Lalamon just flies us and goes, well, like, they look after you.
Yeah. Which is the same in the dub. And except in the dub, Yoshino adds on that that no one should laugh at Lalamon's jokes because they'll only encourage her.
Everyone should keep laughing at Lalamon's jokes. They want to encourage her.
As I mentioned earlier, they mention in the dub that they're eating emergency rations instead of just whatever Sayuri has in the fridge. I'm pretty sure it's not mentioned in the original.
Such a strange thing to say. So the baby Digimon, it's weird to me. They don't actually dive in to eat. It's like they're not hungry or they don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they know.
And it takes fried egg and Piyomon like actually eating it for them to all be like, oh, it's not poison. Fantastic, let's go.
No one trusts Yoshino's cooking, even though probably it was mostly Sayuri.
It's probably because Lalamon told them all it was poison.
Akuto and Falcomon get the word carrot and tactful confused because it's a similar word in Japanese. In the dub, Falcomon just says that he shouldn't eat too fast because he'll get a bellyache. But I guess it's fine, but it's not. I like Japanese puns. Yoshino asks why Sayuri came back, and she says it's because they'll be home soon. They don't want to come back to an empty house. And then we get a shot of the photo which Sayuri has fixed.
Does she not realize that there's a high percentage chance of her dying in this version? Like, this plan is awful.
Yeah, no, I see your point.
We cut briefly to Agumon and Masaru sitting in the desert complaining.
Yeah, they're thirsty.
And Gotsumon like lands on them because he was also thrown by a tornado.
Mm.
And they're like, look, take us back to the Yggdrasil tree.
And also, so Gotsumon doesn't remember their names and says Osaru and Aho, meaning monkey and idiot. In the dub,
it's good.
He's just being rude to them and says Marcus, Doofus and Uggadorf.
Uggadorf.
So he's just being rude to them and he's not actually forgetting their name. But in the original, it seems genuine that he's forgetting their name. It's like, oh, it's you guys, Osaru and Aho.
Doofus is a bad one because, like, that's what Chica says.
No, she says Doof.
Oh, it's the same thing. Speaking of Doof, Doofmon shows up.
I kind of love his design.
It's actually, first of all, Ikuto is giving the Digimon all a pep talk.
Oh, this is so cute.
And he thinks back to his time there and when Masaru was giving him like pep talks and everything, yeah, making him feel
yeah,
at
home. Yeah, because Piemon asks exactly what Ikuto asks, which is it okay for me to be here?
And he says, I'll be your Aniki now. And they're all like, yeah, you will.
And they all say, Aniki, Aniki. It's so cute. In the dub, it's boss. Which is still cute, which is fine.
We're your employees. What does that mean?
Well, it's like more big. He says big brother as well.
We're going to join boss. A union.
So they're being really loud and they're playing pillow fight. And then Yoshino gets a pillow thrown at her. And Duffmon shows up and the city's disappearing. Like they have an ability to just destroy the city apparently. And this is without the fractal code.
They're just attacking it, right?
Yeah, but it's actually fading away. Like
so tearing big portals into it. I wonder if all the people are dead or if they're in the digital world now. They're probably dead.
Yeah, they're probably dead. Falcomon and Lalamon evolve. Duffmon is annoyed that they're spouting orders and they seem unqualified to fight him. And that they bore him. So this is sort of showing that he's a strategist, but they don't actually go anywhere with it.
Well, he's just sort of standing there and be like, well, you didn't get me. I guess your strategy is bad and my strategy of do nothing is good.
Chika wants to look and is wondering why Digimon and humans can't get along. Piemon is there and is worried about her being outside and he's wondering if it's safe for her to be there. Duffmon says they can't stop him following Yggdrasil's will. Ikuto says that there are Digimon there in the real world as well, and Duffmon says that even if there are Digimon there, they have to be destroyed anyway for the greater good. Piemon evolves to Garudamon to protect Chika.
It's cute, although no Birdramon, just gone.
No, well it wasn't Birdramon.
Or whatever the middle thing is.
It was Aquilamon.
Yeah, no Quillamon.
Which is Pokemon's evolution. So, Ikuto and Yoshino say they want to protect everyone. Ikuto gets a burst Digivice, which looks really cool.
He just gets it now, it's fine.
Like, he doesn't have to even break his Digivice or, like, get it from Banjo-Leomon or have any episode. It just sort of happens.
I'm beginning to suspect that Banjo-Leomon might be Masaru's dad.
Why would you think that? That's weird.
Because it would make the most sense of how he knows about Digisoul and how he has Digisoul, which is also orange, as far as I'm aware, and how he knows about Digivices.
Would you even like that? Like, that's pretty far-fetched.
I'm not sure if I'd like it. I don't think it's necessarily well explained unless it's like Yggdrasil, like since it took over the body, like has to keep switching through different bodies. That'd be pretty funny because that would make it different from homeostasis in that way.
Right.
Sorry, you just reminded me because you're talking about the Digivice burst.
Yeah.
And like, I forgot, how did he give them that? Well, if somebody invented the Digivice, even if they were in a magic body, that would make sense.
Right. I guess I kind of get your logic. So we get Ravemon evolving to Ravemon burst mode and Rosemon evolving to Rosemon burst mode.
Rosemon burst mode looks great.
I really do like the colors.
Ravemon I can take or leave, but Rosemon looks awesome.
I love Ravemon in general. I love Ravemon's design.
He needs bigger pants.
He's very purple.
Is that why you like it?
Yes. So Rosemon has even more fan service in her evolution, which is edited out in the dub, obviously.
Nah, it's too bad.
Ikuto says that one-sided justice isn't justice.
And that's actually not true. I don't know what they mean. Like, maybe they mean something like, you know, compromise or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's compromise.
You know, if somebody is a murderer, right, and then they get assuming your country has the death penalty, like, that's arguably one-sided justice. And, you know, people going to jail, they don't get justice for themselves. I don't know what they mean by one-sided justice isn't justice. I don't think she knows what she means by that.
You mean he? Akuto's a boy.
I thought Yoshi said it.
No, Akuto does.
I forgot.
In the dub, Kenan says that Marcus watches out for him, so he'll watch out for others. And also we get a quote that's, burst mode is real in the dub, and I'm not sure why they would ever think that it wasn't real, but okay.
They all saw Shine Greymon in burst mode.
Yes.
They all saw it.
Yoshi says that justice equals power in the dub, because it's a quote that Duffmon through the whole fight keeps saying justice equals power.
The whole point of him saying that is because he's the bad guy. Oh, well. And so they beat him.
Yeah.
They kick his butt.
But pretty quickly. Like, it's a pretty quick fight. I guess it's
two burst modes.
I guess because we also had such a cute little fun part of the episode for most of the episode, I guess, which is fine. I like it.
Yeah. And then So after they die, Thomas shows up.
Yeah.
And it is sort of implied that, I guess, his whole story arc was happening at the same time.
Yes, it was at the same time and he was coming to collect them. Probably saw, like, the Digimon fight in the air and they decide to go to the digital world together. And Piyomon says that she will protect the human world.
So just keeping in mind that they're going to go to the digital world together, when earlier this episode in the English, they say, we made a promise. Our duty is to protect the world no matter what.
Right, yes.
Except now they're all going to leave.
Yes. Well, now we have Piyomon protecting it. So we can sort of say, okay, Piyomon can protect it.
What about the other dad's members in all these other countries?
It's fine.
What about them, though?
It's fine.
There are two Royal Knights still in Japan. Like, they just leave.
They have Dynasmon and Magnemon just blowing things up, like, willy-nilly.
And the kid's like, no, we'll go.
Dynasmon's gonna send something to the moon. We just know that, right? What do you think of this episode as someone who is new to Digimon?
I mean, all the beginning bits were cute, and then, like, the fight at the end was boring. Like, it was just such a... It was such a waste of time to get everyone in their burst mode and to beat this Royal Knight, who wasn't even part of the list we'd seen before. Like, I mean, if there were 9 Royal Knights, you're like, okay, cool, there have to be, like, 9 dead Royal Knights. Well, a 10th one was added just to get killed here, so that it doesn't have to be all that important. But everything else before that was nice.
And what did you rate this episode?
Like, it's weird because it's almost to be in 2 bits. Like, the first bit's a 7 and the latter bit's a 5. So let's go with a 6.
I gave an 8 on the basis that I really liked the I would say the main part of the episode, which is the babies and Piyomon being there, Chika being there. It's just very nice.
Yeah.
Though, I think I might actually have to downgrade it because I don't like the fact how Yoshino, you know, the third character, who is meant to be as important as Tomas and important as Masaru, gets a combined episode and it doesn't have anything to do with her actual character growth.
Yep, kind of. Yeah, I think I kind of expected that.
Like, everyone else's burst mode sort of related to their overarching plot that they have. Like, we have Masaru's whole, like, his dad thing and wanting to protect his family, and protect, you know, his friends and everything. That's been his arc. And we have Thomas' evolution episodes have been related to his relationship with his father and his relationship with his mother and not really belonging.
World.
Yeah, and the digital world. And sort of not really belonging because he's sort of like his mother and father but from different races and everyone's a bit racist apparently.
Yoshi's episode is looking after babies because she's the girl.
Yes. It was combined with the kid and the woman.
Fantastic.
Like, she didn't get her own episode, so I feel like...
You mean the others?
It's 8, but if you actually think about how, like, she should have had an episode that spoke more about her inferiority complex, about her sisters, why haven't we met her sisters?
Because they're not important.
Yes. And why don't we get more of her upbringing?
Because they're damn women.
So, yeah, I guess I'll give it a 6 as well because I feel like it would have been fine to give her her own episode that actually had something to do with her character rather than just she wanted to protect the babies, I guess, or just she wanted to win. And that was her motivation at the end of the day. She wanted to beat the Digimon. And fine, it's good. It's fine. Of course you would want to beat the bad guy, but I like my evolution episodes with a bit of a character development or character growth or
Thomas one was
anything.
Great. That
yeah,
makes
and
sense.
We've hated Toma the whole time. You've hated Toma. No. You'd be like, ah, oh, Toma episode. Oh, no.
I got over it.
Yeah, it's just... And then Yoshino, like, she has so much potential, but they... No.
I think she might have less than you think. I think you like her more than she has potential.
She's better than Izumi.
Fair enough. That's a very low bar.
How'd this episode compare to your predictions from Noxinopsis?
So I remember thinking that this would be Yoshi's, like, Burzman episode, which was true. And I thought it would go to her backstory, which was wrong. In hindsight, it should have been really obvious to me that when they have a name that doesn't say Yoshi or whatever in it, but it was most likely to be a burst mode episode, why wouldn't it be combining the two of them? That's why you can't have a name that specifies one or the other.
Mm.
Ikuto and Yoshi's, you know, parental attitude. Like, what would it be?
Yeah.
So it made sense. I think I was on the right track.
Ooh.
But at the same time, obviously I didn't quite get it.
Mm. Though I think you ranked it as higher in real life rather than your predictions.
I think
you gave
6.
It a 5, didn't you? You rated it higher, as it turns out, which is fine.
I will take it.
What was the major difference between the English and the Japanese version that you noticed?
I want to say it's when they specify, yeah, we promise to protect the world and we're going to stay here, right? And then half an hour later, they leave.
I think it's the fact that they removed sort of like the strategist part of Duffmon.
But there's nothing to remove. Yeah. It was one word.
Yeah, but... Well, a few lines as well, like him commenting on about how they lack strategy.
I don't know. I feel like it's such a minor change because, like, it doesn't actually do anything. He never behaves in any different way. At the very least, in the difference between God and King with Yggdrasil, is like when people say, oh, I got an audience with the King, as if there's a structure in the way, and people behave slightly differently.
Yeah, yeah. In episode 44, it starts off with Masaru and Agumon being too fast for Gotsumon, and Masaru stops and remembers that his dad's Yggdrasil, and then he says he'll defeat them.
Well, it's interesting because Agumon says, you know, Yggdrasil, and then there's like a hesitation, like, oh god, he's remembering. He doesn't say, I'll beat Yggdrasil, he says, I'm going to beat my dad.
Yes.
He's accepted, you know what, my dad's evil, I'm going to kick his ass.
Yes, and that's great. And I love how he sort of says, well, I'll just, and later on he says, I guess I'll just have to punch out my dad.
Yes.
Like, the whole time, he's just like, I have to go fight my dad. Like, he's accepted it. He's like, I think he was sad about it, but like, he got over it. He was like, well, this is what I have to do, and I'm a man, and this is what men do.
And pretty much immediately, like, exactly as I imagined this episode would go in Obnoxious Synopsis, I don't think I explained this very well, but basically, he walks through the digital world, and then a Craniumon shows up immediately, and they just fight. For references' sake, I might drop it sometimes if I'm reading it all, but I've named Craniumon Bonehead in my notes because it's easier to write quickly.
Yes, no, that's legitimate. He is a bit of a bonehead. Craniumon shows up and Masaru says for him not to interfere because he wants to punch out his dad. And this is just a great quote. It's like, this is Sabers in a nutshell. Like, I'm going to go fight someone, but this time it's just his dad.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about this beginning bit here is that Craniumon makes a very legitimate argument. It's not even like the, I got told by God I have to do this, right? Mm-hmm. It's the, one of the worlds has to go, and it's really all the humans' fault that this is happening. And that's, he's right. And Masaru's whole argument is, but I don't want that to happen. Yes. I'm human and I want to live.
And see, Craniumon's quite like a... sensible, and he's sympathetic because he's not just saying I'm going to kill them. He's saying, like, what gives you the right? Like, what gives you the right as humans to say you do when it's all your fault? It's the human, it's humanity's fault. Why should you live? Why should we die because one of your own kind caused this?
And I think that's so strong. Like, they do not present that argument in the English. Like, it's just not the same.
Yes, and because you know this, because in this scene, Craniumon says, "Look, you know what? If you can prove to me this human potential that you speak about is real, I'll let you pass."
Yeah, because then...
But you have to avoid my spear and break my strongest shield.
I named my shield, by the way. It's my friend.
He names it in both.
His name is Avalon.
He names everything that helps him.
And this is Mr. Backpack. Yeah. Ran out of names.
He's not very good at naming things, this Craniumon. No, it's great. But the thing is, in the dub, it's just, you have to defeat me. He just challenges him to fight him, which I think is different. There's a difference between let's fight, because that's every episode of Digimon. Every episode of Digimon is defeat me. This specifically says, make me submit.
I would describe, he says, we fight to the end, i.e. until someone dies.
Yes.
Which makes it actually seem like he's a huge coward at the end.
Yes, he submits, because he submits obviously in both versions, because it's in the animation.
Yeah.
But in the English version, he's challenging him to fight to the death, which is every fight in Digimon. But in the original, it's sort of like a, you know what, convince me.
Yeah, to show you that you're better than me, and that'll be good enough.
Because, as we said, Craniumon is quite sympathetic, and he's quite reasonable. Even when we had this clip show episode, we found out that Craniumon was just standing there saying, but why should we kill the humans?
Yeah, arguing on their behalf.
Yeah, and even though he's a Digimon, and Digimon more or less seemed to not like humans.
He's never met one before at that point.
Yeah, which is fine. It shows that he's reasonable, he's accepting, he's just like, well, why should we kill them? And Yggdrasil says, because it's him or us. And he's like, he finally learns after, you know, the half an hour clip show is just sort of, yeah, there's no other choice, it's kind of their fault.
I don't really remember what I said in Obnoxious Synopsis, but I feel like I said he summons a shield. It's like impenetrable.
That's in the thing, yeah.
But like, well, because there's an argument to be made, oh yeah, his speed is his shield. But here it is. He has a really silly looking shield because his design is not so straightforward. It's a gift from Yggdrasil, which explains why he didn't have it last time. And it's like totally impenetrable, which I assume means it's made of chrome digizoid.
And also the good thing is it shows that this is going to be different from the last fight they had because he has a shield.
Yes, instead of moving very fast, now he won't move at all.
He moves fast, still. In the dub, there's a dumb line, which again shows you how that they're going to actually... The aim is for Craniumon to kill Masaru instead of just best him in a fight. So Masaru says something over my dead body. And then Craniumon says, well, that's the idea. I love Craniumon's voice in the dub. I really like all the Royal Knights voices, except for Dukemon's. I don't know, Dukemon's is good, it just sounds different from the usual Dukemon voice.
I think that they're all lame.
But it's just sort of like, I, Craniumon. It's very Royal Knighty.
You just love it when they say I, and then they repeat their own name.
Like in, I'll try to do our Dukemon voice. I, Dukemon. Because he's got like the grandma voice. Because he's Gilmon. Masaru mentions how humans are suffering, and Craniumon says that they deserve this. In the dub, Marcus adds on that King Drusilla's human.
Which, like, seems to offend Craniumon a lot. Like, he does not like the suggestion in any way. Which is funny, because in the last episode, the distinction of who is human and who is Digimon doesn't matter. It's about which world exists.
Yes. Masaru says that Craniumon's a puppet, and Craniumon says it's laughable for him not to know his place, and he asks him to show him this human potential that he speaks of. Masaru punches him and evolves Agumon to Shine Greymon, and Craniumon gets his shield and challenges him to avoid this spear and destroy the shield, as we mentioned before. And in the dub, it's just a challenge for Marcus to defeat him. It is a fight to the death, basically, in Ling's version.
Do fight, yeah.
Yoshino and the others arrive in the digital world, not in the fight.
Yeah, and then they cut back later to Magnemon and Dynasmon being like, well, no one's defending this place anymore. We can just blow up whatever we want.
Basically, which is fine.
Isn't the whole reason in the... Because this is what I was talking about, where, like, the reason for them staying back didn't make any sense at the time. Because, like, oh, no, yeah, Marcus, you go be a man. And it is very clear from his fight with Craniumon that if he had not been helped out here, he would have died. So his plan to go alone was wrong.
Right.
However, when they justify it that they stay back to defend from the Royal Knights, it makes perfect sense because they need to actually beat them. But then they leave all the Royal Knights behind.
Yep.
So both things they did were wrong. Somehow.
Right, yes.
But if they'd done one or the other from the beginning, it would have been correct.
Masaru punches Craniumon's shield and says that it hurt, but then he's saying, nah, I'm just kidding.
I fooled you. And Shine Greymon gets behind him and attacks. And then it turns out the shield, it appears anyway, the shield isn't like, you don't have to block with it. It gives Craniumon like an aura of like shield block.
But this is actually quite a smart like tactical move. It's like, okay, well, the shield's at the front. If I punch the shield and Shine Greymon goes from behind, then maybe we can get him. And I do like this because it shows that Masaru's actually in the fight. Masaru's not just standing there being an evolution battery. Masaru was actually involved directly in this fight.
Ah, he's always been that way.
And I like that.
He lands finishing blows on a bunch of different Digimon because his punch is so strong.
Mm. And interestingly, punching the shield doesn't make Digisoul come out, which I like because it shows that this is actually separate from the body.
Also good, yeah, because he's getting blocked. Why would you, if your punch is blocked, you don't get
it? Because Masaru has punched things before like shields, but they've been part of the Digimon.
I thought he always punches them in the face.
No, he punches him in the side. It has to be part of the actual Digimon. So this shows that the Craniumon shield's not actually part of him.
It's a Yggdrasil gift.
Yes, because Yggdrasil gave it to him. And I don't know, I found that interesting.
I was kind of expecting when he gets the Geo-Grey sword out, I'm like, is a Geo-Grey shield coming in? Is it going to be a big shield battle? And it never happened.
Also, they do a big attack and it does a shonen thing of like the parting smoke and then Craniumon's not being scratched. And he's like,
did we get him?
Yeah, but it's like that whole thing, like, oh, that didn't even leave a scratch. Like, that's such a shonen thing.
Tis but a, not even a scratch.
And then, yeah, this is when we get the shot that you were talking about earlier with Magnemon watching the human world and Dynasmon showing up and saying, so Masaru is in the digital world. We can defeat the human world now.
Oh, I guess we'll just do it. Don't worry about it.
And now Shine Greymon gets a Geo-Grey sword, and Craniumon says he can't get any potential from him at all. Like, he's not feeling it.
He's not really feeling it.
And then the Geo-Grey sword breaks on the shield.
I wonder if that means he can't make it anymore.
I don't know.
He can probably make new ones.
Shine Greymon is about to be destroyed. In the dub, he says goodbye, boss, and it's really heartbreaking.
Aww.
Masaru gets Digisoul and says that he'll always keep attacking. And what I realized from this is the first time he's ever gotten Digisoul without punching something first.
Oh, maybe?
No, this is 100% the first time. He didn't punch anything. It was just with his emotions.
He didn't punch anything when Bencho Liamon had them trapped in that, in the shack.
That was just screaming. That was a screaming burst.
That's the same thing.
Okay, good point.
No,
he got that big burst and his Digivice fixed. And then he punched to get the Digisoul around his hand.
How did he punch? He has to get out of
His big screaming attack wrecked the house. And then he jumped out and punched Thunder Birdmon in the face.
Wow, this is the worst show in the world. But this is the
first time he's had, like, the Digisoul in his fist.
Same way that Tom and Yoshi get.
Yes. Which is just without punching. Which is interesting. Masaru says they have to smash the shield to pieces. Craniumon uses End Waltz. And then the other Dats members arrive.
Yay.
Craniumon asks how they can just leap into battle when they have no possibility of winning. Yoshino says there are things in the world that won't simply go according to calculation. In the dub, she says, because we're the Data Squad and there's nothing we can't do. Which I'm pretty sure sounds like a line from the intro to the English version.
We're the Data Squad and there's nothing we can't do.
Meow, meow. I'm pretty sure that's how that goes approximately. Thomas says these calculations never work out for Masaru anyway. And this is a really cute line. Yoshino says they always go through things no matter what because they're together. And then the other members get to burst mode. And in the dub, I noticed that Rosemon burst mode's evolution isn't edited at all like the last episode.
So all the fan service is back.
Yes. Masaru wonders when they got to burst mode, which I kind of like, because it references, yeah, he had...
probably the last 20 there. Minutes.
Masaru says that he wants to push Craniumon off his high horse. In the dub, Yoshino and Thomas comment about how Marcus has a good plan, and they're all very surprised.
About his plan to knock him off his high horse?
Like... no, his plan to, like, break the shield and to get behind him and stuff.
Okay, here's the thing, right? I understand why they would say that, because he has a plan at all, but hitting someone in the shield until it breaks isn't a good plan.
It's a Masaru plan. It's a Masaru plan.
That is very much a Masaru plan. So the Masaru plan of, if we fail 100 times, we'll attack 100 times. Yes. If we fail 1,000, we'll attack 1,000 times.
Look, I love that.
Someone should tell this kid, no, you'll die at some point around 500.
Masaru doesn't think he's going to die. It's fine. The shield starts to crack, and then Masaru punches and says he will show him human potential.
No, let's not roll over the shield cracking bit. Craniumon says, you'll never fracture and my shield.
It literally cracks.
It's instant. And he just has his face, what?
It's got the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like, music.
The shield just cries, like, oh!
You will never break my shield.
And that, and the last part there is when it goes all sepia tone with the to be continued, and you see Masaru in the distance with the big fist up.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the fact that Masaru is the one who cracks the shield and breaks it finally...
I love
again,
this.
Means he's the most powerful Digimon there.
Yes, he's the strongest one.
Oh my god.
Strongest in Imperial Dramon.
You know what? We've never seen him punch an Imperial Dramon, but maybe Imperial Dramon would just die.
He would. Confirmed. Craniumon says the fight ends, he only submits defeat because he says, look, you avoided my spear and you broke my strongest shield, then I submit. In the dub, he just says, I submit. And he says the exact same line, but it's because he says, I will challenge you to the death, and that he's
so
submitting
weird.
Now.
What a coward.
Yeah, it just comes across like a coward rather than him being basically a reasonable, sympathetic dude.
So he says, you know, he lets them go. And I make this comment briefly in my notes where I say, I think it's weird that if their entire character, the Royal Knights, is that they're, like, following the divine instructions of a god, that he would have this change of heart. But then, like, right afterwards, he goes, maybe even the words of a god can be wrong. And that's Atmon levels of ask a question, have it answered immediately by the characters.
Yeah. And I actually kind of like the way this episode finishes off. Like, with him saying, him questioning Yggdrasil's, like, well, maybe his word isn't so. And maybe it's not, his law isn't absolute. Maybe there are other, maybe this human potential is more than I could ever imagine. And when he's submitting, Thomas says, hey, Masaru, don't let your guard down. And Masaru says, no, I trust him, because we spoke with fists.
Well, he didn't, though. He tried to stab you.
Yeah, and then this is when Craniumon says that God is not absolute and asks if Bancho Leomon is aware of that. So we find out that he knows Bancho Leomon.
It implied to me that Bancho Leomon somehow might be a royal knight, like, he's at the not. Time. But no, I think he's Masaru's dad.
In the dub, he adds on before sacrificing himself like he did. What do you think of this episode of someone who was new to Digimon?
It wasn't the worst thing ever. I think my big problem with it is that clear identification that they try to have it both ways and they get it wrong, which is, do the kids stay back and defend the world from the Royal Knights, or do they go with Masaru and help him? Because if they'd gone with Masaru, he would have not struggled at the beginning and been fine, and they'd not almost died. Because if they didn't show up, he would have died. In which case, they shouldn't have let him go alone. But if they weren't going to let him go alone, then stay and defend the... So if they were going to let him go alone, stay and defend the world against all the threats, not just some of them. Because it becomes immediately obvious they are showing their hand, oh, we need to stay back to get burst mode. Because you can't get burst mode without having people around to defend, and right. All those people in the real world. So that's really why they stayed around. And they just didn't say it.
And how would you rate this episode?
I guess it also gets a 6. It's fine. I don't think... I was definitely not, like, amazingly entertained by it, but it was fine. It did its job.
See, I actually gave this a 7 in my notes, but I think after actually discussing it, I might give it an 8.
Wow.
Like, I really liked this episode more than when I watched it. I really do like the fact that Craniumon is questioning his god and...
That's good, yeah.
He's open to be proven wrong. It's like, well, I'm open to believing this human potential, but you can't just tell me, hey, what about this human potential? Expect me to believe it. You have to prove it.
Will you downgrade it back to 7 if you remember that 10 of the 20 minutes of the episode are just people attacking a shield?
No, but I think the way they do it at least has some meaning, because there's some back and forth about human potential between Masaru and Craniumon, and I think that's meaningful.
Not most of the time.
No, most of the time. I feel like it's not just they're fighting. They are actually having a back and forth, and it's actually quite good.
Okay.
How did this episode compare to it? Obnoxious synopsis.
I feel, I mean, he did summon his big shield for sure, but the question, I'm trying to remember if I said that he would die or not, and
well, he didn't die.
Yeah, so apparently I thought he would die, and I was wrong on that count. I guess if any Digimon was going to be sympathetic to the human cause, that would be it. I said that Ikuto wouldn't, this wouldn't be an Ikuto episode, which is true, but I also guess in the context that Ikuto wouldn't get his own episode, also technically true, but he got an episode. It was just with Yoshi at the same time.
Yeah, And what was the major difference between the Japanese and the English version?
Clearly the difference was whether or not Cranium-on was like, oh, it's to the death, or it's, just beat me. Because to the death, but then cowered out is way different to, like, here are the terms of the fight.
Yeah, that was my main difference. The whole, like, challenging to avoid my spear, break my shield is very different than just fight to the death. Because, as I said, he's reasonable, and that's the point. Like, he's open to, like, submitting if he's proven wrong. What are your thoughts about the Royal Knights so far? We've seen a chunk of them now.
They're really lame.
They're better than Frontier, you have to say.
Oh, yeah, of course. But Frontier's like the pits. Like, it's not a comparison, right? In this, they're functional, but they're just goons. Like, they showed up and you're like, oh, these guys are cool. Arguably, if you'd not seen Frontier. But then every episode, one of them dies or is beaten handily. And it doesn't seem that hard.
This has to be the best Royal Knight episode so far, though.
Yes.
Probably in all of Digimon, this is the best appearance of any Royal Knight.
Wow. Wow, that is sad. Except
for, I actually really like Cyber Sleuth, so maybe not as good as Cyber Sleuth.
Craniumon gerbil mode.
I mean, I hated him in Cyber Sleuth because he was very strong and he kept on using end waltz, which like ended my team. Like, I was like, no, don't do this.
Stop hurting my Digmans.
The best one was when someone from an alternate universe comes to help you. A girl from one of the 3DS games.
Holy crap.
She has a Royal Knight.
That's dumb.
And she's like, okay, Vivi, evolve. And it's a Royal Knight. And everyone's like, and your thing is, like, you're actually flying, because you're fighting in the air, and you're flying on all four Speedrumon's back.
This is weird.
It's really cool.
This is not how I thought that game would go.
Yeah, she's the only female goggle kid, and Mirai's just like, so we need help, but she's kind of in another dimension. So they go into the world of Digimon World instead of Digimon Story.
Isn't one of the characters a girl who has goggles on her arm?
That's the protagonist, the main character. I guess she is a goggle kid-ish, but that's
the main character. The main character's the main character. The black-haired girl with the goggles on her arm.
What?
I don't know. We'll talk about another...
The person with the goggles is, like, your character.
No, there's your character, and there's, like, a black-haired girl who, like, wears goggles on her, like...
Okay, I don't remember that she has that on her arm, but it's been a while. I really like Cyber Sleuth. But no, she has an all four Speedrumon.
Fair enough.
She's also terrifying. She's basically just like, okay, imagine Miyako.
No.
Now cross her with Masaru.
That's weird.
She is a hyperactive girl who will fight.
Do fight, yeah.
She will fight. She will fight you so hard. And she calls her Vemon Vivi.
I've picked that up. It's not as cool as Zero. It's really not as cool.
She will fight.
Okay.
And yeah, she has a Royal Knight and she's very fast. That was actually a pretty good game. I recommend everyone play that game. What are your thoughts about Piumon's return? Like, does it make you feel anything? Because I'm pretty sure it's meant to make you feel like a little bit of like, oh, it's that guy.
No, I didn't feel anything. Was I meant to?
I'm not sure. Like, I've sort of like, oh, it's Piumon.
I got nothing.
It is nice to see more evidence of the memory wipe, though.
Piumon's just a casualty. They've died the most out of anything in this show.
Leomon.
No, each Leomon's only died once.
Yeah, good point. What are your thoughts of Ravemon and Rosemon sharing an evolution episode?
I think it's a bit lazy, but at the same time, if it means less episodes in the season, I'm all for it.
That's fair. This is actually, I believe, besides Cross Wars Part 3/Part 2, this is the season with the least amount of episodes.
Fantastic.
It's like got 48, and Cross Wars Young Hunters has 25.
Cannot wait for it to be over.
Well, it's almost over. We'll be done next year.
He's going to punch his dad and be like, oh, that's the end of the season, thanks.
This time next year, we'll be covering Sailor Moon.
Great.
So, screenshot of the week. Jaden sent me his, so I guess he'll just go through my Tumblr.
Yes.
And find
one. I'll steal one of yours.
I think I might just give you one because of how Chica's animated, but do you want this one?
Yes. I want the one with the goblin in it, yes.
Okay, would you explain what your screenshot of the week is now?
Okay, it's Yoshi, and she's just happy, and she's, you know, cleaning up stuff, and Chica has a vacuum, and her head's turned a bit too much, like, it's almost like The Exorcist, and she's like, hey! She's a little goblin with a vacuum cleaner.
See, this one was actually quite hard in this episode because, of course, we had Tokumon opening his mouth.
Yeah. It's
which is always great. But then my favorite had to be Masaru screaming and saying, I have to go punch out my dad. Not because of the screenshot, just because of the subtitle. Just like, it's so good. Like,
it's strong.
There was some Digimon introduced in this episode. And actually, there was a Digimon introduced in last episode, which I forgot to mention, but it's Kamimon's perfect level evolution, which is Shuajinmon, I think.
I have no memory of it at all.
Okay, well, I liked it. I liked it a lot. What do you think about Duftmon?
I think it looks really silly.
I like him.
He's got like a little coat on, and he's got like a vest, and then he's got his weird, silly eyes all together. It's all dumb.
We've already done Craniumon, haven't we?
Yes.
Okay. Any more thoughts about Cranium? Now he has a shield.
What a bonehead.
Okay, that's fair.
Also, it's not, shield's not part of his design. It was a gift.
Okay, yeah, it was a gift.
So the shield's dumb. It's got a little dumb symbol on it. Who put that there?
What about Ravemon Burst Mode?
I don't, it's got big wings, I guess.
What about Rosemon Burst Mode?
I think Rosemon Burst Mode looks it's got great.
Good colors.
I think that, like, it's just a color swap, but it's a really excellent color. Yeah,
they become shiny
swap.
Pokemon.
Yeah, it's a good system.
I feel like Rosemon has only got a color swap, but everyone else actually has a design change.
Like bits and pieces about them, yeah. But
Rosemon's just a color swap.
I feel like she has chains on.
I feel like she looks the same.
I think she has little chains. Maybe. I could be wrong.
I think she's bigger because she has Yoshino on her shoulder and Yoshino's tiny.
No, I think Rosemon has always fluctuated in size.
Okay, that too. Well, I know she's meant to be like the size of like a tall human.
Yeah, but for example, when she was fighting Bio Spinamon, yeah. I think that she was I think she was twice as tall as a person.
No, I think she was just one head taller than Yoshino. You know, because Yoshi, like, she was, it's like, they were
no, but there were other perspectives and times during the fight where I feel like she was twice her size.
Okay, I don't think it was that tall, but that's fine. Any other thoughts about the Digimon they're introduced?
Nope.
For Postmon Path this week, first up, we have a weekly poll. This week, it was Lord Nightmon, which is, obviously, Lord Nightmon in the dub from Digimon Savers, versus Crusademon, who is Lord Nightmon from Digimon Frontier in the English dub. So, Jay will read the comments, and then I'll read the results.
We got one from Blog Takeshi who says, Lord Nightmon, because it has at least three good reasons to use that name. Lord Nightmon, Lord Nightmon, and Rodo Nightmon, while Crusademon, in their opinion, is more generic. Embermoto says they voted for Crusademon mostly because their dub version in Frontier reminds them a lot of James from Pokemon. One from Autumn who says they've got a big soft spot for those weird Japanese puns involving non-Japanese words. And Riku says, I appreciate Lord Nightmon for at least keeping to the correct gender as opposed to Crusademon. Also, the near-miss translation is hilarious. And I quite like that as well.
So, what do you prefer?
As a character, I know, honestly, in both cases, Lord Nightmon. As a character, I think that they're not involved in Frontier, so that helps.
Okay, well.
And then Lord Nightmon's really funny, because it's clearly meant to be Lord Nightmon.
Yes, they misspelt it.
And they just screwed it up.
Yes.
And then the English was like, whatever, we'll stick with it. We've done Frontier, and we can't figure out what this thing's name is.
Frontier's like the scrappy dude, it's fine.
It's so bad.
Just don't look away. It's over now. So
he's not real.
So I actually prefer Crusademon. I'm not really a big fan of the whole like slight lisp that they gave Lord Nightmon.
And neither should you.
But
is it better than just making them female?
I feel like they could have just played him like straight up, like, oh, he's just the same as every other knight. And it doesn't make, like, he's pink and they don't give him a character that's almost like.
What if they made him voice like James Earl Jones? He was like, hello, digital destined.
That'd be weird.
I will fight you.
But I like Crusademon. I like the personality. I like the, I like the fact that there was a female royal knight.
Yeah, it's gone now.
I don't think there are no female royal knights now.
There's no reason for there not to be any.
They are all men, or rather masculine Digimon. And I kind of liked the fact that female, yes, I know it's a bit that they changed a character to a female just because of pink, and that's not great. But I do like the fact that it sort of ups the percentage of how many females are in the story. It's just, I don't know.
Necessary.
In Cyber Sleuth, Lord Nightmon is a female, sort of.
What does that mean?
It's kind of a big spoiler.
Oh.
So I guess skip if you don't want to hear it, but you find out that there's a character who's kind of like a bit of a not very nice person, for lack of a better word that I don't want to have to beep in my editing.
Okay.
And we find out that she's actually a royal knight that's been sent to like sabotage humans, and we find out that she's Crusademon, and then you find out, again, continued spoilers, that the detective that you're working with is actually Alphamon.
Oh my god, that is the worst game. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't finish it.
So Alphamon's technically also maybe a girl.
No, the human form they take on doesn't imply.
Well, Digimon gender. Don't have gender at the very end. Like the end of the
well,
end of
according
day.
To according to Redimon, Tamers, yeah. They don't.
But no, it's so yeah, spoilers over. Anyway, so total votes 13. The two votes that Jay and I just had didn't make a difference because Crusademon lost by one vote.
Nice.
So because we didn't go either way, it's still 6 and 7. Lord Nightmon is more popular, so that's a Digimon Data Squad version.
Nice. So we got a Gmail from Embermoto, who first had this episode 132 fan art of Masaru fighting Impaledramon.
And I've been so busy, I've been meaning to upload that. I've been meaning to reply to Embermoto, but I've just been really busy at work because it was the last week at work before the school holidays. So I'll try and get that up as soon as I possibly can so I can link it in the show notes.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah,
I want to.
I've been too busy to forward it to you.
I want to see Masaru punching Impaledramon.
I'll show you later.
That sounds fun. They say about episode 41, Child Marcus is adorable. And quoting Keenan, the one thing you can't pick, they say literally, Keenan literally chose to keep his Digimon family after he found out he was human. He still calls Frigimon his mom, and Frigimon chose to make Keenan family. So you can pick your family, and you should know that, Keenan. Biological family is a different story, and I think that is what they were going for, but it doesn't come across that way. The fact that Agumon is actually saving some fried eggs for Marcus and not scarfing them all down himself really shows how serious the situation is and how worried he is about Marcus. The Damon family scene in this episode is just really adorable, and they can't take it. And as with episode 42, they say, poor little Thomas, he just wanted his dad to love him. And I guess the answer to the question of how he and Relena could have the same mother is they don't. They're step siblings. No, they're half siblings. They have the same dad.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's not step. Step siblings are people that like are brought over in a by marriage.
So basically, they're what the dub thought that TK and Yamato were. Remember when they said they were half brothers?
Yeah. Thomas's grandma isn't nice. That's true. She's either just like an aristocratic, like awful person, or she's really racist. It's one or the other. And Mirage Galgamon birth mode looks like a weird Disney princess.
Digimon Data Squad was done by Disney, so my Disney princess is now Mirage Galgamon.
I do love the idea that, like, oh, Darth Vader's a Disney princess, haha, because it's owned by Disney. But, like, just because something is owned by Disney doesn't make it a princess.
Mirage Galgamon birth mode is now a Disney princess.
Princess Leia is a princess, and it's owned by Disney, so that is a Disney princess. If Mimi was a princess...
Then how come Mulan... Well, she's actually... Mimi is a princess, but how come Mulan is not a princess, but she's a Disney princess?
Because in Mulan's case, that's a movie for that set of... Like, that's that line of, like, franchise, I guess?
No, but real talk. Mirage Galgamon Burst Mode is now a Disney princess, and no one can convince me otherwise.
We got one from Andrew who says, hey guys, first I've got more Digimon etymology for you. Sleepmon is pronounced Sleipmon, and it comes from Sleipnir, Odin's eight-legged horse in North mythology. I sort of guessed there was some connection there. As for the English dub name, Kentaurus was the father of the centaurs in Greek mythology. Well, that makes more sense, actually, considering he doesn't have eight legs. And secondly, about Digimon foreshadowing family issues early, hints were dropped about Koshiro being adopted way back in episode 5 of Adventure.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that was...
Annihilated.
And it was actually really important through his whole character thing, because it was his thirst for knowledge.
And lastly, to Jay, plenty of people noticed the difference in music between versions. In fact, it's one of the major points of contention in the fandom sub versus dub debates. And I accept that. I'm just saying that I don't notice it, because it's not something that I care about so much when I watch things. Good music is always good, and like the end of Attack on Titan Season 2 has an excellent music moment that if it changed, I'd be upset. But it has to be like a 9 or a 10 on that piece of music for me to care if it changes. Otherwise, it's not a big deal unless the mood changes entirely. We got one on Tumblr from Elivorg who says, I can see Jay's point that having more flashbacks could have helped give the audience more of a shock factor when Yggdrasil showed up in episode 40. But I really don't think that was ever supposed to be the point of that scene. The point is simply showing the effect that it has on Masaru, which the scene does an absolutely fantastic job of, and it's my favorite scene in the whole series for that reason. I think that you're probably right, and the point of that scene is to show the effects on Masaru, but I also think that's less interesting than if you have the audience involved in that shock, so that we feel what he feels, rather than see what he feels, and then empathize with it after the fact. So I'm just saying they could have done it better.
Right.
Not that it was completely wrong. They say that Chica's feelings about her dad in episode 41 aren't strange at all. She never met him, sure, but she grew up with both her mom and especially her brother telling her all about how great he was and how he'll definitely come back one day. I went with how much Masaru idolizes his dad. There's no way he didn't tell his sister many, many stories about him. Mostly of them probably made up and over-exaggerated.
And also everything that Masaru said was from the eyes of a 5-year-old, which is maybe not entirely accurate. Like, it seemed like, oh, he's such a great person. He was probably just an okay. Like, he probably wasn't, like, the strong as Masaru thought he was.
No. Well, then all the Digimon told him.
Until all the Digimon
He was way stronger than you thought he was.
He punched some water into the ground.
So cool! So she would have had some kind of image of the person he was, and I hope that she'd get to meet him someday, which would then be crushed by hearing that he wants to destroy humanity. It's different to how Masaru feels about him, sure, but it still makes sense for her to feel that way. And I would say that's a situation of, I think you can make a reasonable argument that that's what's happening, but the show definitely isn't telling you that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I think you have to do a job of inferring it, which is not a television show, especially a television show for this age range. That's not how they should operate, I don't think. I don't think that's the ideal way. And I think that they had plenty of time to show this or to tell you sort of how she felt or for her to say anything or make indications directly other than just see the end result of it. There's one little change in the dub of this part where, aside from sounding a little whinier, Christy asks if her mom had a fight with her dad, and that's why he's doing this. That is something that it really doesn't make much sense for her to think when she never actually knew her dad. This family has plenty of issues without adding parental arguments into it out of nowhere. And the dub also somewhat changes what Masaru is planning to do when he meets his dad again. In the original, Masaru wants to talk through fists with his dad to get through to him, because the idea of communicating with someone by punching them has been something he's mentioned multiple times. In the dub, they got rid of these previous mentions of that concept, so instead, Marcus is really inconsistent about whether he wants to literally talk to his dad, talk with his fists, or try to punch the living daylights out of him for abandoning them. Although, to be fair, I don't think he's of the opinion that they got abandoned at this stage. Although, no, he is sort of, because he thinks he's Yggdrasil. It's confusing. Fair enough. And finally, Dinosaur does use Breath of Wyvern at the beginning of episode 42.
Yeah,
he doesn't
that.
Call its name, but it's recognizably that attack. He vaporizes a city with it. So, are we to assume the city is now on the moon?
Yes.
And, yes, definitely. That's where it goes. Alright, everybody, join us for the next episode of Haikyuu, A Family Quarrel.
Or the one-on-one match between men, Masaru versus Suguru.
And the truth about Bansho Leomon.
Or Impact, the truth about Bansho Leomon. For Weekly Wonders this week, I'm going to say rollerblading. It's what I do, but I do it on the streets now because I'm a thug. I only fell down a little bit. It was not so good. It hurt quite a bit. I have like a huge
I wouldn't say you fell down a little bit. You fell down a lot.
It was fun. But no, rollerblading's good. It's good for endorphins. It's fun if you do it with a friend. And also it's good if you do it with a friend because they can help you when you fall down because you're a klutz.
I've been playing a million Street Fighters again. I've just completely recommitted to that game, which is really good because I can say it's different now because Street Fighter V Arcade Edition is coming out, which gives everyone a second V-trigger, so they all play a bit differently if you want. There's more stuff to learn, and there's way more characters now. There's like 3 seasons of DLC characters at this stage. Sakura's back, Ibuki is back, everyone's in there.
Hey, Ibuki!
And also Sagat and this weird dude who looks like Uncle Sam, whose name is G. It's weird, and Blanka's back, so the game is ruined.
Actually, I've been meaning to buy that. I'm gonna wait for the Steam Winter Sale.
Yeah, right now?
Oh, it's happening now.
It's on right now!
Okay, I better go get
Are you buying it on air?
I'm gonna see the price. It is $15.
That is severe that's a 60% discount.
But what if it goes on like sale?
This is on sale.
No, what if it like, don't they do daily deals when it goes like 90%?
No, 60% is really good.
Oh, okay.
Dailies are like 50. Also, is the season 2 character pass on sale? Because I might get that today.
It's in the bundle.
No, hit the see all on because I already own the game.
Season
2. Yes, on sale. Buy that today.
Well, I'm gonna buy the deluxe edition.
Oh my god, you're buying it right now?
Yeah, I may
Are
as
we
well.
Playing tonight?
Yeah, when I get back, sure.
Cool, because KDM fell through.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, because Bill can't play.
All right. Well, I guess we're doing that then.
Woo!
All right. So the link dumps in the description, and this week's weekly poll is best burst mode design: Shine Greymon, Mirage Galgamon, Rosemon, or Ravemon. The link dumps linked in the description, and you can also find our screenshots of the week, weekly wonders, and weekly poll also linked in the description and in our link dump. Our Redbubble is also linked in the description, and you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @Translation on Twitter. We're almost at 500 followers on Twitter.
Yes.
And you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion thread on With the Will and a red thread in the Digimon subreddit. And we would really appreciate if you would review us on iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts now, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. Ratings really assist people finding out about the podcast. We now have a website, and you can vote in our weekly polls, check out our release schedule, and check out our blog posts. I should stop saying we now have a website because we've had it for about a year now.
Nice.
It's coming up for the yearly renewal.
Looks great.
Thank you. I put a lot of effort into it. You can donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description, for as little as $1 a month. And that gets you access to Enlist a Slack chat group, but there are higher levels with more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Sam Krieger, who has a podcast with Stevie called The Moncast, Stevie, who is Stevie Padamon on Tumblr, is currently taking commissions there, Wu Qinglong, who you can find at twitch.tv/WuChinglong, Metal Mamemon, Joe, Anime Guy, who's Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Chuckmon, Hirolato, who's @Hirolato on Twitter, Jason Morosky, Ryuchi, who's Frost Miragic on Akivaron, and inkit.com/RaidenAllen. Stephen Reeves, who is at WildWing64 on Twitter. Kaitawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Chisai, who can follow at Chisai236 on Tumblr. Kyle, Delady Bugman, whose anime blog you can find at baguburagu.wordpress.com. Glitchgoat, Azrael McCool, Gene Hackmon, who hosts New World Sonata, which is a sci-fi and fantasy audio drama podcast. Matthew, Anthony, who is AntoClassic on Twitter. Lizmet, who is Elecmon on Tumblr. Sithobi, Ellivorg, who is Ellivorg on Tumblr. Sporky McFork and Spoon, who hosts a Digimon podcast called Going Digital. Megan, Kylie Eck, Neobu, Jams, The Time Optimist, Silverhead Freak 25, Harvey, Alex, and Nicholas.
You can also make one donation on our PayPal, which we found linked in the description. It's paypal.me/edgemon. Make sure to listen to the podcast, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye! Bye-bye.